Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, Giblets? It's the one, the only, Brian Rails. And today, on today's episode of Wrestle Radio, we're not just going to jump into WWE jargon because, well, figured what was kind of lacking last year was more broadened horizon, what's going on in the wrestling world, and just stick to that. So, what I'm going to stick to for the subject matter of today is Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega. Both workers have worked in Japan before. Chris Jericho, not recently, but he will just recently this Saturday. If you would like to live stream New Japan Pro Wrestling, other than watching it, which is the Hulu version of wrestling, Flow Slam, you can go to mpjwworld.com. Where is, you know, that's the live stream and it costs ¥9.99. So if you do the conversion table in the States, please do, because you don't have ¥999 unless you're a very rich individual. So, looking at this, the tale of the tape is as follows. Chris Jericho came and interrupted Kenny Omega during or after a match in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Omega made the challenge to anyone that could possibly stop him. Now, granted, I don't care who goes over, how it happens, this match is going to be the talk of the entire year. Man, did you see Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega? Did you see the dive that Chris Jericho took? Did you see the risk that was taken by Kenny Omega? Granted, you know what? I need to do my homework and watch more Omega matches. The only Omega match that I watched, have watched from him, been on Daily Motion. I've been catching up on his latest stuff. I tell you, Kenny Omega makes anybody look good. It's something that him and Jericho have in common. And the fact of the matter is, when you put these two of these resumes together, you have one hell of a match in the making. Jericho, most of you know him from WWE. Well, that's unfortunate. I know, and others know him from WCW, and also early days in ECW and the territories that he worked since he was 16 years old. Now, like I said, I don't have very much background on Kenny Omega other than the fact that he faced off with Okada and the headbutts in that match. Take your time to study that match, and it was, holy hell, what did I just watch? These headbutts are absolutely brutal. The strikes that Okada did to Omega, teach that. Trust me. So, like I said, I wasn't going to jump right into WWE jargon. I've also noticed a few things later on that I'll discuss them during the show about what just happened in the beginning of the year 2018. We welcome those of you who have just joined us on Wrestle Radio's very first opening, 2018, brand new year. There will be some changes music-wise, although that shouldn't be the real focus on this year. What I was going to talk to you about was, well, let's see. I want to look up Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega's resume. So while that's occurring, Let's take 10 seconds to pause for station identification, ladies and gentlemen. A little blast from the past never hurt anybody, but as I pull up this interesting biopic on Kenny Omega, he's been wrestling from anywhere from IWGP in the United States as the World Heavyweight Champion. In New Japan, he was a one-time IWP Intercontinental Champion, a two-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, a one-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion, and a two-time never open weight six-man tag team champion. So he's been a champion multiple times, much like Chris Jericho, whether you love the man or you hate him. You cannot deny this man his talent. I'm just reading off his resume. Let's see. He has wrestled in several North American independent promotions, including California-based pro wrestling Gorilla, so PWG. That means, he is the winner of the 2009 Battle of Los Angeles tournament in New Jersey All-Pro Wrestling. So, Omega, let's see, is a member of the Bullet Club, duh. Departure of AJ Styles. All right. Let's see here. So, he started his career in wrestling. Actually, you know what? He played hockey. For those of you who don't know this, Kenny Omega, I believe... began hockey career that he started in a place called TCW and then PCW in 2001 and 2005. So he started out in Canada, I believe, because it's saying Winnipeg. He's worked in front of a lot of fans. So from the very get-go, he started in 2005, 2006, he worked for Deep South Wrestling. Sorry for the sounds you hear in the background, folks. He returned to PCW 2006 to 2000, well, now. He actually did try out for WWE, so I guess. He trained with Dave Taylor. Like I said, I have to know something about the wrestler in order to gain respect from the other fans who know probably all they can know about Kenny Omega. So if I was to talk about Chris Jericho, I'd go any further by reading how his career, because I told you I've recognized him since his early days of ECW, his beginning awesomeness with WCW and Dean Malenko and all the accolades that he has. But I'm being fair, ladies and gentlemen. I'm being fair. So, seems like he's faced off with guys like AJ Sanchez, Petey Williams, guys that are obviously familiar with AJ Styles, obviously, since I mentioned that earlier. So, he also made his debut in 2007-2008. For Pro Wrestling Syndicate, so PWS, on September 7, 2007. Jersey All-Pro Wrestling from 2007-2009. Ring of Honor in 2008-2010, so that's obviously where he got his beginnings. Not really, because obviously he started in 2001. Saying that, Dramatic Team Wrestling, so 2008-2014, there's 6 years there. KOD Tag Team Champion. So, I mean, look at the track record. Omega has been a successful guy no matter which promotion he's worked for. This match, obviously, between him and Jericho, I don't mean to bore you all to fucking tears by me reciting gifts, but gifts. Yeah, reciting pictures that move. That makes sense. Man alive. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla 2008 to 2010, 2012, 2014. So, obviously, Omega has a resume. He's, wow, Joey Ryan, Kevin Steen. So he's defeated Owens, which doesn't surprise me. Omega's a very talented guy. New Japan Pro Wrestling from 2010 to 2014. Golden Lovers, Bullet Club, 2014 present. This is just listing his accolades. So obviously that is Kenny Omega's resume, and the fact that he's faced the likes of a Kevin Steen, the likes of a Joey Ryan, and now he's adding Chris Jericho to his resume. Imagine what kind of pad would be padding his career if he defeats Chris Jericho at WK12. Now, Japan obviously is, let me tabulate this here. Let me take a look-sees at the time zone between here and Japan, because this guy, I think it's kind of interesting if you look at this. I look at, I did have Korea on here, but that's a different story for, okay, so Tokyo, Japan. Holy crap, guys, it's 3 hours, actually, yeah, it's 2 hours ahead of where I live. Tokyo, Japan, it's 7:14 a.m. there, so it's 5:14 p.m. here. So they're a day ahead of us. Can you imagine watching this on the network that is MPJW? You can watch it through Flow Slam. You can live stream it through Daily Motion. Buying the pay-per-view, I don't know how much it's going to cost, but if you live in Los Angeles, I believe the Staples Center will be showing this match, and you can imagine how full that one is going to be. Obviously, the name Chris Jericho is synonymous because people recognize him through WWE. I'm just going to say it. And for us older fans, we recognize him through WCW and early ECW days when he used to work for a gentleman by the name of Paul Heyman. What implications, how big is this match? You've got two guys that have literally blazed a pathway for their generation of wrestling. Now, a lot of young wrestling fans, they may pull for Omega, but they may be torn because they also idolize Chris Jericho. My personal opinion of this match is going to have so many falsies in it. So many moments where you're like, oh man, I thought that was three. Oh man, I can't believe he didn't tap out to that. More so, man, holy hell, what a match. And it's not even begun yet. Chris Jericho is by far one of the wrestlers that you love to hate, and you also can't help but cheer because he brings flavor to wrestling, not just the watered-down gimmick that he was in WWE. He's saying that he's himself. Watered-down meaning, okay, if Chris Jericho was to go full tilt and not put any thought into it, or actually put all the thought in the world into it and actually enjoy what he's doing, I don't think you'd be seeing Fandango anytime soon. I don't think there'd be a Breezango. I don't even think that any wrestler would be safe, including maybe Dolph Ziggler, but here's what I'm going to tell you. If I find by watching wrestling, you see so much evolution and how it's turned out to be. You still have your giants. You have Braun Strowman. You got Kane. You've got Brock Lesnar. But, okay, so you've also got Keith Lee, Matthew Riddle. You've got a plethora, Matt Richardson. Actually, hang on. Let me check that name and see if I got this right. Seeing as how I'm getting some infiltration of followers, and it's kind of kind of neat, but anyways, I'm not here to talk about, oh yeah, well, maybe I am. Yeah, about that. I firmly believe when you watch this match between Jericho and Omega, people are going to say, why, this could be the future match of the year candidate. And just because it's not applicable or easy to download or easy to watch, I tell you, I'm going to go out of my way to find a way to watch that versus the NFL playoffs, because no offense, I mean, if you already feel you know the results, why watch, right? This one, it's like watching a movie you haven't seen yet. It's like going to see Star Wars if you haven't seen Star Wars, but you've seen the builds between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. Jericho attacked Omega. Omega attacked Jericho at a press conference, which was fucking brilliant, because the build is just elevating itself between these two. And it's just the equivalent thereof of an Undertaker Shawn Michaels magnet multiplied by 10. And I'm speaking about Taker Michaels Part 1. Because Part 2 was crap and it was a load of shit. Well, let's just be honest. The builds between the gentlemen were great. The match itself, it can be debated whether or not you've already seen the false finishes, but they did it in a different way. They just elevated the match themselves. Jericho and Omega, how do you elevate a match? How do you bring it to the point where the fans are absolutely going to pop? They're just going to go batshit crazy for what they're about to see. It's like building the suspense in the Die Hard movies. You know that Bruce Willis has got to find a way to knock Hans Gruber off the fucking perch. And how did they just not just, oh, well, here, I'm going to throw Hans Gruber off the high rise. No. There's a bill because he attacks a family member. He does something in the movie to piss the fans or piss the people off. The viewing public said, man, I cannot believe that Chris Jericho is now in Japan. You know what? Omega may have refused WWE for a reason. Not everybody likes what they see. It's not aesthetically pleasing. As you can tell, I'm stealing a quote from the Briscoe brothers, and that was from 7 years ago. But here's the point. When you turn down a contract for WWE, you're not necessarily faulted for that. Because Omega saw what was going on to guys like AJ Styles, guys like Kevin Owens, formerly known as Kevin Steen, guys like Sami Zayn. Sure, they're elevated themselves in a different light. It may not be how they could be portrayed as, because if they did, in some people, in some fans' opinions, these gentlemen are standard for what wrestling could be. And I'm not just saying those two gentlemen, but guys like Cesaro, guys like Seth Rollins. Omega probably said, and I don't speak for him, but this is probably in his mindset, you really want me to be a watered-down Kenny Omega? Because the WWE is where people dream of being. I'm not going to lie, I wish I was there too. But at the same token, look at what he's done in Japan. Look at where he's going to be. And you're telling me, I'm just reading your question, you think Jericho belongs in the Royal Rumble. That's how you feel, Kyle, that's fine. If he has a spot in the Rumble, that's cool. I mean, he's got 3 weeks. Obviously, WK12 is a huge deal. That's like Japan's version of WrestleMania. All the fans that show up there, they spend their hard-earned yen. They're earning themselves into a frenzy, right? I mean, look at the talent that showed up last year for WK11. I mean, this obviously is something new for Japan, and look at the freshness of it. It's not the same people. Now, granted, okay, WWE had to change their MO because they were working around Dean Ambrose. Like I said, I didn't want to get into WWE jargon that quick, but I ended up doing so. I'm just using them as compare and contrast, if you will, folks. Bear with me, if you will. Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho. The brilliant side of this is, okay, so you have two gentlemen that are like yin and yang. You have two gentlemen that can literally parallel one another with their character MO. So why not talk about Chris Jericho's side of the tape? Since I've spent most of my time discussing with you all about Kenny Omega, I think it's time to dip into the lake of Jericho. See, his name too has a lot of catchy things that you can say with it. I mean, after all, Alpha versus Omega. Jericho is a fucking genius when it comes to promos, getting guys over, you name it. Jericho sets the standard. And it's pretty golden. Sorry, my friend Dusty. I had to use interesting puns. I mean, not trying to make fun of you, my friend. I'm just trying to add some flavor, if you will. So, while we're hooking for Jericho's little stats in the career, because I want to be accurate this year. That's one of my, not New Year's resolutions, but one of my main friends, one of my goals was to present accurate info about wrestlers instead of just rambling in circles. So, while we pause for 10 seconds for station identification, why not just play a little accolade, if you will?
Bullet Club.
Okay, so right now I have in front of me information about Chris Jericho. Apparently started out in 1990. So this is interesting. Started out his career in 1990 at the age of 19. Okay, so at the age of 19, he trained at the Hart Brothers School of Wrestling. 94 to 96, Wrestling Association, Extreme Championship Wrestling. So he wrestled in 96 in ECW. Wrestled against Ultimo Dragon, obviously for most of us who know Chris's early ECW career. He's wrestled Taz, Sabu, RVD, Shane Douglas, Too Cold Scorpio. I remember that guy. 96 to 98, Chris Jericho went through MPJW. Says on August 26, 1996, Jericho made his first appearance with WCW on Nitro. 97, Jericho made his debut for New Japan. This is back when guys had open time to just wrestle. 98 to 99, he was known as the World TV Champion in WCW. I remember that title. That's when William Regal held that title at one point. And not just William Regal, a lot of guys held that championship. But anyways, we're talking about Jericho. Jericho entered WWE in 1999. He interrupted The Rock, made his presence felt, and the rest is history. He was the very first, you know, one of the very first experience, I believe, in 2004 when Shawn Michaels made his return. He had, you know, not just his matches with Shawn Michaels, but, I mean, look. He was the very first Undisputed Champion, the very first guy to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock in the same night, which, you know, is his claim to fame. But he's just such a good – Miz claims to be the best Intercontinental Champion, obviously. Current representation, yes, The Miz. Parallel a few guys, he's a good wrestler, but we're talking about Jericho. So – Jericho was, his tenure in WWE has been off and on. It's been here and there, a few Rumble appearances, a few appearances at pay-per-views where people can sense that he's coming. You know, they have a thing called Y2 Radar. He's been a multiple tag team champion. You know, he's been tag team champion with Big Show. He's been a tag team champion with Edge. He has been a tag team. He's been a champion ever since being involved in companies, and he works really hard. So these two guys have resumes. You hear that so often in the world of wrestling. You have to have a resume in order for people to recognize just who in the hell you are. I've spent a good half hour talking about Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. I think it's a good time to segue into the advertisements. If you're wishing to go to a seminar this year, there are plenty of those. There's Joey Mercury. There's Arn Anderson. There's Brutal Bob Evans, Hangs with Bob Tours. There's Danny Cage and others at Monster Factory. You can go to monsterfactory.org. You can check on Facebook. You can check on Instagram. For more information, message these guys personally. Say, hey, I heard you have a seminar. I plan on going to the one in April. Come hell or high water, I'm going to Monster Factory. I'm going to find a way. I will find a way. As after WrestleMania, what the fuck am I doing? Nothing. No, that wasn't my New Year's resolution, but if you wish to go to Monster Factory, go to monsterfactory.org, contact Danny Cage, the head trainer, the head coach, the everything at Monster Factory. He does have assistant coaches that have really, really impacted Monster Factory itself. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org about the camp, the super camp. He does have payment options on there, folks. It's not rocket science. So if you want to pay half now and then pay the other half later, it's up to you. Also, for those of you wishing to sign up for a wrestling school in Iowa or Kansas City, Iowa, Brave for Black, Merrick Brave is one of the head trainers up there, the famous Seth Rollins School, Brave for Black. If you do sign up for these things, it's suggested you have a job so that you can pay your tuition, pay your dues, you know? If you never wrestle in your life, that's no problem. They're willing to teach you. If you suck, that's up to them. That's up to you. It's all in your head. Just when you train for these wrestling schools, be sure that you're 100% in and not just doing this for a New Year's resolution. Because if you are, I personally think it's stupid if you're just doing this, you know, to make your resolution by trying something that you've never tried in your life. I don't think it's stupid that you're trying. I think it's stupid that you're just doing it just to kick off your bucket list, whatever. Now, the advertisements is not over. For those of you who love WWE, love networks, period, if you wish to sign up for a WWE network, you get your first month free if you've never even used it. That does not atone for people who have already used the WWE network. Go to WWE.com. Sign up today for free. And if you want to get your username, your email, and a valid password, sign up with a valid debit or credit card. For those of you who do not have a valid or debit card, valid credit or debit card, you can go to your local GameStop, Best Buy, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, or Walmart to sign up for to get those preloaded cards. I believe it's $27.94. You get 3 months after your first month free, so you get 4 months. You get Royal Rumble. You would get Fully Loaded or whatever pay-per-view comes after that, Money in the Bank. You would get Fastlane. And I believe you would also get WrestleMania because after that first month free, you would get WrestleMania. So that preloaded card would be a belated Christmas gift, New Year's gift, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. I don't care. It would be a great gift. So go to WWE.com. Be sure to check out the latest deals on the shop. Be also sure to sign yourself up for WWE Network, which is a big deal because you not only get information about WWE, you get to watch Smoky Mountain Pro, old WCW, old NWA, AWA, USWA, PWG, TNA, Ring of Honor, and so much PWG, and so much more. For those of you wishing to fight the good fight against cancer, go to SusanGComen.org, an affiliate of many wrestling sites, you can kick cancer square in the ass. How do you do that? Go to SusanGComan.org. For more information, go to SusanGComan.org. Kick cancer square in the ass. Support all the research and all the studies to kick cancer's ass. And for those of you wanting to see old CZW, old Ring of Honor, just pretty much awesome wrestling, go to flowslam.com. You can catch guys like Matt Riddle, Darby Allin, Sammy Callahan, Ethan Page, Cobb, so on and so forth. And that's all I have for you on the advertisements. All right, folks. I'm going to segue into this nice little off-the-rails segment because I got plenty of time just to shoot the breeze with all you awesome, lovely fans. Thank you for support last year, but this is 2018. And I got plenty more to ramble about and also rattle off facts and also some interesting insight that I really just want to just... The cost of something I would be. Going to talk with you all about 2018, what we can expect, what we don't want to see, this, that, the other. Granted, tonight, SmackDown Live, be very, very interesting because now Sami Zayn is elevating himself into the main event picture finally. I mean, it took a while for WWE to do so, but it also is funny how I turn on the TV and after so many people have said, okay, they should capitalize on the Bullet Club concept. After they just told Ring of Honor to cease and desist. Now, again, there's an interesting tweet that Finn Balor had in the UK WWE saying, too sweet. And then the Bullet Club from Ring of Honor basically left a little image that said cease and desist. Indirect fire to WWE. Now, what can they do? Fire back on social media saying you can't tweet. Too sweet. I had to rhyme. I just kind of force a habit. That's interesting because the Young Bucks, people will talk about them. And now here's the funny thing about this. There's a lot of cease and desist or else, or you go back and you look at what Cody Rhodes has done. Cody Rhodes came out, they were near headquarters, I guess, near WWE headquarters, and Jimmy Jacobs was at the point where didn't really mind commiserating with former friends, right? Because Cody Rhodes was also once a part of WWE, left in good standing, really didn't have any ill things to say up until after the fact. By after the fact, I mean, take a look at some footage of Ring of Honor shows, Ring of Honor pay-per-views. It's not bad, it's not good, it's just entertainment. This is the shit that my friends and I used to see between WWE and WCW. Respectively, when DX was trying to invade Nitro that one fateful year, I believe it was 98 or 99. It was just funny. I mean, now you look at what Marty Scurll, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, they are doing. I mean, it took WWE long enough to put Finn Balor and the Bullet Club together. I mean, I'm scratching my head thinking, okay, cool. I mean, I just like watching shows instead of predicting, okay, this is what's going to happen this night. What's your predict to shake going to say? friends and I, you know, you do predict sheets for fun. You say, okay, who do you think's going to win? If that was done for money, ooh, man, that would not be fun. If that were the case, I'd look on Bleacher Report and just fucking cheat, because what I'm getting at is the fans, I love you to death, because most of us who watch wrestling could see that if WWE wasn't going to capitalize on some form of the club, people were going to gripe, grunt, and bitch for the rest of the duration of 2018. But get, hold on to your hats. Hold on to your fucking hats, because did I just see that Brian Pillman Jr. is following in Daddy's footsteps? He did have his first wrestling match. I'm actually a big fan of the Loose Cannon, and do you know why? It's because the man wasn't afraid to say what was on his mind. Not only that, even former tag team partner Stone Cold Steve Austin said that Brian was just absolutely nuts. I don't think that's humanly possible. I mean, the man did do some questionable things, but his wrestling, his promos, they were amazing. So I hope, you know, I wish Brian Jr. a good luck. I mean, he was only 3 when his dad passed away, so that makes him 23. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for that technical difficulty, but here's what I was trying to say. If you have an issue with how things are working, it's good to question. Sometimes you get in trouble if you just question how the way people look, what their gimmick is. We're supposed to just be fans, right? We're just supposed to enjoy the way things are. Sorry for that long pause, ladies and gents, but here's what I'm going to tell you. After observing what just happened last night, maybe there's a reserve for what's about to happen, seeing as how they had to scratch somebody from the main roster, because they're not firing him, but they just, because of injury to Dean Ambrose, the landscape of Monday Night Raw had to change. So therefore, you know, you had the announcement of John Cena entering the Royal Rumble. I believe Jason Jordan will enter. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Jordan won. I wouldn't be surprised if anybody could win the Royal Rumble. I'm excited more so about the female Royal Rumble, all women's battle Royal Rumble, featuring all women from SmackDown Live, all women from Monday Night Raw, women that used to work in WWE, like maybe Victoria, maybe Trish Stratus, Lita, Beth Phoenix. You know, nobody is safe. Any woman can win that Royal Rumble, and I'm excited for those women. I'm excited, point blank, period. So, yeah, that's a good segue, I know. I'm sorry, Jen, that I didn't get to answer your question. I had some technical difficulties on the show, but I will answer it now. For those of you wanting to go to WrestleMania, my biggest advice to you is, you know, answer another question. Joseph from Kansas City, Kansas. Do you think Asuka versus Alexa happened too soon? I will answer that question accordingly. I believe I'm going to answer this question saying from our Facebook, or our very first Facebook question instead of Instagram. No, man, I mean, look, even if it happened, to answer your question, Joe, Asuka versus Alexa Bliss may have been a little too soon. But here's what I'm going to answer this question with. Had to happen because she was tearing through the entire division. That's my answer to that question. Yep, I agree. It was a little too soon, but at the same token, my opinion, I wonder, Joseph, or Joe, if you think that maybe she should have faced Paige. I don't, you know what? Here's what I'm going to say on this. Sometimes people, they face each other early because fans need a preview of what the match is going to be. So this is a precursor. Is Asuka ready to win the very first Women's Royal Rumble? Can she be eliminated? I think what I'm basically asking you is, do you think she should have faced Paige? Do you think that she should have faced Nia Jax? We've already seen her face Nia Jax in NXT. Sometimes the WWE's booking system is quite perplexing. And I just got my answer to the question. Yeah, that's what I thought they were building towards. Sometimes the booking system is a little ass backwards. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It's trial and error. Okay, so back to what I was saying about the Bullet Club, because I'm losing focus here. I mean, I answer questions. I have wrestling ADHD, which means I can answer your questions and also do the show at the same time. Now, what I'm getting at is, folks, the WWE, this is just how they did the NWO. Hogan and them came in as a story to, you know, basically build up against The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin because those two were the best to work with the company. Austin didn't mind working with the New World Order, and I do have a point. If you watch Table for Three, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, AJ Styles, I believe Shawn Michaels was also a part of that. And also, I believe, X-Pac. So if you watch what, or if you listen to what Kevin Nash basically says, I don't mind, you know, I didn't mind that they were doing the two sweet symbol. I mean, it's a national thing. If it's famous, people are using your symbol, then they know where it came from. Obviously, that didn't go over well with the boss because you know how the clique didn't really make Vince happy back in the day at Madison Square Garden. I'm not saying Vince has anything to do with the whole cease and desist decision, but I mean, come on. It's a symbol that's popular. And to tell the Young Bucks, hey, you can't do the symbol that our guys are doing in the WWE. I mean, Finn did it at an autograph signing. Flying fuck sakes. It's not a big deal to some people. It is if you want to, I guess, have a job. So I guess Jimmy Jacobs got fired because, one, he was burned out. Two, it sucks. Yes, but at the same token, the Bullet Club has infiltrated everybody's mode of thinking. When they get to the arena, it's everyone puts up the two fingers, man, or the two sweet symbol. Hang on 1 second, folks. I got to ask this question to any of you. What's your thoughts on the WWE implementing Finn Balor with the Bullet Club? How long will this last? And I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of things that cross in my mind, obviously. You guys hear what comes out. So there's a lot of six-man tag matches going on. They have the tag team championships. They're deciding to make women tag team championships. why not make a six-man tag team championship? Because there's so many six-man tags going on for women, there's going on for men. So why not implement something that the WWE may gain? They already have the mixed tag matches going on live on Facebook. That was genius. So that was a brilliant way to start off 2018. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Every time that someone tunes into WWE, are they fully engaged with the product? The answer is, that answer can vary from any fan. Do you just go to see it? Do you go to enjoy it? Yes, that is what we fans are programmed to do, right? Instead of psychoanalyze, okay, well, this should happen, that should happen. That's the job of a podcaster or the job of a broadcast journalist, Corey Graves, Michael Cole, and Booker T, or Tom Phillips, Byron Saxton, and so on. So Mauro Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness. It's their job to psychoanalyze what things are, but it's also annoying. Like, it's about time. It's about time that this shit had to finally happen. Finn Balor joining forces with the club. Hell, that could have happened. Last year, they had plenty of opportunities. In the year before, when AJ Styles came into the fucking company and you had him with Gallows and Anderson, but no. Yes, you know, it's funny. I found a stable friend. This is what he had to say. He said, hope they keep them as a stable to replace the Shield. Apparently the fans went wild when they got back to skit. I agree, sir. I agree. I love it. Hey, so basically my friend is saying, a lot of the fans thinking ahead that the Bullet Club, when the Shield, okay, when Ambrose gets healthy again, are they going to even keep the Shield as a united front? I don't know. But what I do like is the fact that there's somebody with an open mind. And he says, that would be an awesome-ass match, the Shield versus the Bullet Club. You know, it'd be a great contrast. I don't know if many people would want to see that, but hey, it would definitely be different from what's been going on there right now. Yeah, I know. Ambrose got hurt. Here's my thing, man. That's cool. Your name is Miller? That's badass. Where are you from? Oh, you're from Melbourne. Not Melbourne, sorry. Oh, you said you hate Melbourne. Ooh, okay. Okay, you're from Sydney. And what is your question? Your question to me is, who do I think will win the Women's Royal Rumble? Well, honestly, I don't want to predict just yet. But if I had to choose anybody, it's between Asuka and anybody. The name Asuka, because, look, she is torn through. Practically everybody. But to answer your question, it's anybody's game when they get in that ring, and there's 29 other women aside from her. So you gotta remember, they will scratch, claw, bend over backwards if they have to. All right, ladies and gents. Apologize for this wackiness to begin the year of 2018, but like to continue, I say they will scratch, claw, do anything they have to. So, That being said, I mean, holy cow. Nakamura versus Styles at Mania, but treating him well. I think that's an interesting aspect. That's cool. So your parents named you Miller after a beer. Okay. I think they were named after some Australian beer, but okay. You have another question? Yeah, a lot of us want Nakamura Styles. Here's my thought process on that. Never rule anything out. There's always a possibility that in wrestling, anything can happen. That's my new mantra. Anything can happen. Never ever rule out the ability of something happening because you might see it appear on TV. Because as all of us would like to believe, hey, they took my idea. Unfortunately, most of us don't have lawyers, and well, some of us do, and if you think that they took your idea, man, just, I think it's pretty cool. How old are you? You are 12? Yeah, you lied, and now you, wow, okay, cool. And you like the episode with Mini Sasha? That's cool. Okay, so who's your favorite? TM61. Should have known. Okay, any other favorites? Oh, you like Asuka. Okay. I knew we agreed upon something. Oh, yes. Beginning of the year, because Paige was injured, all she was doing was backstage promo about the Royal Rumble for the women. Obviously, all three members of Absolution will be involved, but that's not the only thing. I bet you all three members of the Riot Squad will be involved as well, because 30 women, 30 entrants. It'll be in Philadelphia, the Wells Fargo Arena. And in my opinion, I hope the Royal Rumble delivers. I hope there's some surprises. I hope we're oohing and awing the whole time. I mean, yeah. I agree. Yes, the Rumble has been a disappointment the last few years somewhat, you know. But you gotta realize, despite me sitting there with you-know-who in San Antonio, NXT proved to be probably one of the better-suited programs. Or actually, it was not just a program, man. It was a clinic on what a real true awesome wrestling show is. But if you want, I think the highlight of last year's Royal Rumble was the Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship match between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. I was happy as a clam that Reigns basically lost, and, you know, well, unfortunately, he got an opportunity, and then he won, and then he lost again. So, I mean, it's a vicious cycle. I mean, you got to give the fans what they want. But also, I don't know, it also has to do with a variety of other factors that I'm not aware of, and I'm just, from observation, point of view, and being part of the business briefly, not bragging about that, but, I mean, here's what I can tell you. If the promoter sees one thing, the fans see another. It's kind of hard to gauge the fans, but unless you don't judge it based off pops, you can easily, okay, the fans like this, do it for 4 weeks in a row, and then they get bored. So then you got to change up the MO. You got to find out what works. And though Michael Hayes and myself haven't really worked together, but here's what I say, he's right about a lot of things, and one of those things is you have to execute a play. You have to execute it to the fullest You have to bring the attention. You have to bring it to the attention of the workers and say, "Hey, I want you to execute this tonight." So he's got some good qualities about him. Don't hate on Michael Hayes, because I'm sure a lot of people they don't really agree with what he does, but it is what it is, folks. Wrestling is as wrestling does. And if you're not part of it, well, then how do you make comments about it? That's what some people think. We're going to pause 10 seconds for a station identification so I can gain my bearings, all right? So I guess we could segue into the SmackDown Live preview. SmackDown Live featuring the Sami Zayn, Shane McMahon, and Kevin Owens saga. Because Lord only knows, getting a McMahon involved is kind of hard to do nowadays, unless your name is Shane McMahon or Stephanie. And I'm pretty sure people don't realize this, but Vince actually has very little hand in what he's doing for Monday Night Raw. That's a lie. But, okay, so you have a build now that has been brewing since November of 2017, ever since Survivor Series, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, my God, okay, what's going on with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Shane, and why, okay, so why is this line right now? There's a United States Championship Tournament, because Dolph Ziggler vacated the title. See what I did there? I'm just fast-forwarding this. So I've got 19 minutes left. Whew. AJ Styles now goes one-on-one with Sami Zayn. Interesting, because Shane caused the distraction for AJ to lose the match. I love how this build kind of works out. We all try to psychoanalyze what the hell's going on. Let me just inform you all, not a big fan of the build that's going on. I respect Shane, but at the same token, in what universe does Shane McMahon ever quit? And to tell you right now, he doesn't. He doesn't ever quit. So obviously, he has had a match against The Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. He's had a match against The Big Show, Test. Hell, the dude's had a match against Kurt Angle at King of the Ring. Okay. If you don't think that this man is capable of working still, you're wrong, because he's still breathing, he's still looking good for a 40-plus-year-old. What am I getting? I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Shane's, not a fan of his work. His strikes look weak. They don't look strong at all. If he's hitting somebody, it looks like his wrist goes limp right before he strikes the guy. Now, as far as continuity goes, I get it. They're trying to build Sami Zayn ahead. You know, they're trying to push him. I don't know. I couldn't be the judge where they're trying to push somebody, but it looks like they're trying to push Zayn just to tease the fans. Because like I told you before in past podcasts, the WWE, they do what they want, how they want, because it's their company. They're could be referring to a lot of people. So, who gets the attention? Who grabs, who pulls in the most, who rakes in the most merchandise? Who's selling out the seats? Who's getting more attention from the fans, good or bad? Shane instantly will get a pop because for the casuals, he is their fandom. Oh, I hope Shane beats their ass. as I told you, this is an open forum. I don't admonish people for speaking their minds. I actually welcome it. So, I mean, I don't know what you were trying to accomplish, but here's what I can tell you. Tyler from Detroit, Michigan. You listen to the show? That's pretty cool. How old are you? 16 years old. That's cool, man. Oh, well, you know, if you're going to ask a question about that, just segue out of the SmackDown Live chat just for a brief minute. If you want to start your own podcast, there's a variety of websites, not just one, so don't just narrow it down to this one. But here's the easy way. BlogTalkRadio.com. You can create your username, your password, what have you, for the simple price of $39 a month or $418 for the entire year. Okay? So my suggestion is, if you got a job, which I'm assuming you do, or you don't, or you can ask your parents to fund you, which I don't know how well that'll work, but I mean, I guarantee you it's going to be pretty damn special if you do. Because you can finally get your thoughts out. You can do whatever you want. You can promote it. You can share it on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. No, I mean, look, here's the thing. Back to the SmackDown live chat. Nakamura and Randy Orton have caught my attention. Randy is more vicious. He has gotten to the point where people will cheer him, boo him, whatever they want to do. But see, fans forget SmackDown Live, the focus, Bobby Roode, Baron Corbin, Jinder Mahal are now in a tournament for the United States, vacated United States Championship. I wonder if they're going to pull the part where this kid has to keep his career or whatever by facing off some of the Miz was Mr. Canada or Kid Canada, and then the reveal of taking off the mask. What I'm getting at is expect Dolph Ziggler to be somewhat included in this tournament, okay? And he's going to do what most guys do. They can weigh their options. As he left the WWE, I don't know. The sources say that he was given time off, and now no one's heard a word from him. I'm sure it's a nice pair of adjustments because you don't have to be on the road. You don't have to worry about where your next hotel is going, where you're going to sleep next, how you're going to get medical attention for what's bothering you. I'm going to briefly touch on something that's caught my attention. You see, SmackDown Live, they are a show that never disappoints. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, you have moments where things happen, catches your attention, like, oh man, I can't believe this happened, blah, blah, yada. That's great. There needs to be a consistent, you know, what the fuck moment, or hey, this should have happened a long time ago. Now fans are just so, how do I put this? Thank you to the person who created the half and half chance. This isn't putting creamer into your fucking coffee, man. This is wrestling. It'd be nice if one dynamic of the crowd was completely against somebody. The only time I've ever seen that happen. And the reason why I'm switching gears here, folks, is because SmackDown, I've already previewed SmackDown Live. Yes, they've got also a lot of entrants from the SmackDown Live side wanting to surprise people at the Women's Royal Rumble in Philadelphia, like Carmella, for example, or Tamina Snuka, or Natalya. But again, I'm going to touch on something that's kind of bugged me for the last few years, and I don't ever get involved in these chants because I just want to enjoy the show. And there's got to be some fans like moi, right? Not everybody agrees upon one point. Not everybody is the same fan. That's the brilliant part of being in wrestling, you know? But what I'm getting at is it's kind of annoying. Let's go Cena, Cena sucks. Let's go Roman, Roman sucks. Let's go Strowman, Strowman sucks. Honestly, people, make up your minds. It's like, okay, tomato or tomato? Has to be one or the other. Cannot just be, let's do the dynamic in NXT. Thank God NXT has variety of fan. You go through a whole bunch of trial and error when it comes to finding what I like to call the fans who annoy, the fans who are awesome and badass, and then there's the fans that, well, you question their existence. Just like I'm sure wrestlers have that moment where they have that one guy that just sits there and annoys the ever-living fuck out of them, and they're saying to themselves, well, I guess I've got to work him tonight. I don't know how I'm going to do it without killing him. Fandom has always been a constant discussion on this freaking circuit of mine, and here's why. When going to a show, I don't want to hear the results. I don't want to hear, you know, how they're going to win. That is like revealing the ending to a Harry Potter book if you've never read a book, or a Harry Potter book, I should say. It's like revealing the ending to something that you've been wanting to see for months, and some asshole on the other end of the horn is saying, okay, this is how this match is going to end. I'm going to discuss this tomorrow on Off the Rails Uncensored, because I feel, from a personal perspective, if you're just there to just spout off spoilers, please stick to your circle, because I don't want to hear it. Same thing, you know, for people who show up to the show and gripe. That's reserved for after the show. I mean, you pay the money to go see Survivor Series, let's say, or Ring of Honor, or House of Hardcore. What's your main objective? Enjoy? You sit down, you enjoy, you buy some nachos, you buy some beer, whatever the fuck you enjoy, and you have a good time. You react to a worker who's worked his ass off to showcase his skills in the ring, out of the ring, mic skills, what have you. You know, this is what I've made the mistake of doing, and someone called me out on my shit. And I'm glad she did, because she's like, oh, you know, there's kids around. Even though I was just joking around, she had a point. You gotta watch yourself and how you act as a fan, because there's no fan police, except for if you're trying to film the show, which is retarded, because you can actually get it on DVD or you can get it on the network. And you can look at yourself, look at your pretty little picture of how you look on TV a million times. But please, for the love of God, don't sit there and play games by saying, oh, well, I know the business just as good as anybody. For flying fuck's sakes, man, what am I referring to? There's a guy dressed in a bunny suit. We were in St. Louis because that used to be Adam Rose's Lemmings. We were just discussing the fact that, you know, Carmella won. I didn't care. And I said, well, you know, and I was discussing completely a different subject matter with a friend. She was enjoying the show. I was enjoying the show, but she didn't pay attention to the banter. But I was. When someone says to another person who has briefly had a stint in the wrestling business, and you're saying, okay, well, I'm still learning, maybe I should just shrug this asshole off, then a part of you says, what gives this asshole the right to sit there and say, I know the business just as good as anyone? Really? So that means you've paid money to train. You've sacrificed time away from your family. You wasted your money on wrestling school instead of paying bills or saving it. So my question to you is, why? What happened to the art of enjoying a show? is it's so hard to pay a ticket. You see a match. If you can grimace, you can do whatever because you're a fan. It's our God-given right to just sit there and be like, oh, okay, yeah, what a shitty show. Not during, but after. And also, I love you guys, but when you ask me questions like, do I prefer this wrestler over this wrestler, don't you think that's kind of lopsided with a guy like me in my opinions? Here's what I'm going to tell you. If the wrestler sucks balls, can't fucking mic, can't work, then I'm going to say something because they don't hear it. One of those people, he'll just laugh at you because, ha ha ha, I'm laughing my way to the bank because of what WWE pays me. And also, his contract, the way he had it aligned, I'm referring to Brock Lesnar. I'm done ragging on certain types of fans because that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to say, you know, if you really want to apply your fandom, do it after the show, not tweeting and texting photos, making sure to make yourself be even more important than it normally is because, you know, God forbid your ego is going to be shattered if you don't properly get an introduction. Brock Lesnar is a here-and-there kind of guy. A lot of people debate this. He is a champion. And sadly, people, well, he doesn't get enough, so you just pull him out, and that makes them want him more. Okay, so if that's your strategy, why is he the least relevant champion? And the argument is, if you don't show up for work, don't you eventually get fired in any other job? That'd be interesting, right? So if I decided one day I'm not going to show up for 3 days, that must mean I'm one hell of an employee for them to value my worth because I've called in sick for the last 3 days. If I start doing it 2-3 weeks in a row, my ass is fired. So fair is fair. The WWE can't fire him because he's a draw. I understand that. But if you're going to allow fans to see Brock Lesnar for who he is and what he can do, I don't know how else to put this, but fans are fed up. You've got to take the title off of him. For God's sake. Okay, Finn Balor entered into the Royal Rumble. A lot of fans would like to see another champion other than Brock Lesnar. Fans will argue and say, okay, Lesnar is the main attraction. He's Suplex City. He only does one fucking suplex, and that's the German, and it's very unsafe. Why, if someone hooked me and I just flew, you're going to have a lawsuit on your fucking hands. Suplex City. Really? So when does he do the German? Or when does he do the German? That's easy. He just grabs you and releases. He doesn't even fucking hook you. T-bone, does he do a T-bone? Does he do a vertical? Does he do a snap suplex? Does he do, there's a variety, the Northern Lights, belly to back. There's just so many variations of that move. The suplex shouldn't be what people stick to, but seeing as how he's known for Suplex City, it bothers me, yes, because Taz has more suplexes than Brock Lesnar. Is Taz currently wrestling? No. There was a guy by the name, kind of like saying Lord Voldemort in the world, a Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone. I'll say it, Chris Benoit, or Dean Malenko, who's kind of the expert in suplex world, right? Here's what I got to tell you. Before I end off the rails Wrestle Radio Edition, I just want to say, beginning of the year 2018, you're going to hear a lot more gripes and complaints if following things happen. Lesnar's champion, certain guys winning the tag team championships is not the gripe, but if you're going to see guys like Cesaro and Sheamus branch off, don't be surprised. Cody Rhodes is going to be bigger and badder in Ring of Honor. You might see the emergence of Matthew Riddle. in NXT, maybe. Travis Gordon, look out for him. Look out for Donovan Dijak. Look out for a variety of Darby Allin, Ethan Page, Jeff Cobb, Sami Callihan, Jessica Havoc, so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling is not just centered around one person and what they can do, but it is centered around the fact that they're there to entertain you. And I hope that's what 2018 brings. I'm griping and complaining as normal, but there's reasoning behind it. I cannot wait to see Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. I hope someone tells me where I can find a good buy team. So, toodles, bitches, I gotta go eat. Happy 2018, and I hope to have more information about WrestleMania. That is all, ladies and gentlemen. For more information, you can PM me at Brian Rails or Wrestle Radio Network. Be sure to message me ASAP for more information about hosting Wrestle Radio. That is all. Bye, bitches. Toodles. Have a nice day, night, whatever. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something high.